ESPN's Tim Kirkton joins us. How are you, Tim?
I'm well, fellas. How you doing?
We're doing okay. We were just discussing that it felt like that was maybe an opportunity with Gerrit Cole not having his best stuff yesterday for the Yankees to steal a game. And the fact that they didn't is just massive for the Astros because, you know, it's not very often you're going to get, you know, human, mortal Gerrit Cole. And the Yankees saw that guy last night and really weren't able to take advantage.
Yeah, it was. That's a big loss for the Yankees because you're right. He wasn't at his best, but this just shows you how great he is, that when he's not even at his best, he still throws seven scoreless innings. That was really impressive. And the Yankees just didn't get hits when they needed to. This happens all the time. This is a hard game to play. And they've scored three runs in their last two games. So that's going to have to change if the Yankees plan on going to the World Series. And this is the issue that we knew they would face at some point. Dominant starting pitching is rare these days. But the Astros have it, and the Yankees now have to figure it out. And they're down a game with two more games potentially in Houston.
Tim, when we see these teams playing, it feels like we've almost got throwbacks here, especially look at the Nationals with their starting pitchers and the way the Astros use their starting pitchers. With all the openers and bullpen games that we've seen, does it still come down to just who has the best starting pitchers?
You know, I think it's more than that. I'm really a little discouraged how we've devalued the starting pitcher in today's game, and I think to the detriment of the game. I think we need to see more guys go out there like Gerrit Cole. Granted, he's different than everybody, but throw 111 pitches, 112 pitches, and, you know, be throwing 99 at that time. I think we've gone a little too much bullpen, and I think we're going to see a lot of bullpen in the rest of this series. The Yankees are definitely going to use a bullpen game, whether it's five or six, we're not sure. And the Astros might end up doing something like that also. So this trend is not going away, but what I'd like to see, and we're seeing more of it, as you said, with the Nationals and the success of the Astros, depending on a horse and starting pitcher. We don't do that much anymore, and I think it's refreshing to see.
Well, I thought it was interesting in Game 2, after the Yankees got a great start from Tanaka, and after Game 2, with James Paxton on the mound, they pull him so early. You know, I mean, he'd given up one run, but this is a guy who hadn't lost a game since July. I thought it was very odd that they had such a short leash on that guy, and then the game goes to extra innings. You knew you weren't going to get a lot of length out of Severino in Game 3. Did it feel odd to you that the Yankees were willing to go into their bullpen so early in Game 2? To me, it changed the course of the series.
Yeah, but Paxton was not sharp. And he probably would have given up a bunch of runs in that game if they'd let him. At least that's what I saw. And when you do have a great bullpen, the tendency is, hey, let's use it at the first sign of trouble. The danger is when you keep using the bullpen at the first sign of trouble, you're going to wear it out. Like so many teams have worn out their bullpen this season. And now with the rain out, if it does go seven games, the Yankees are going to have to play four games in a row. And if they use their bullpen this much, it's possible by game seven that bullpen's going to be really tired. Don't forget what happened to the Dodgers in the 2017 World Series. That bullpen was gassed by the end, and the Astros bullpen was a little fresher, and that's one reason the Astros won and the Dodgers didn't.
Tim Kirkton is our guest. Tim's an integral part of ESPN's Baseball Tonight coverage, airing every game night at midnight on ESPN2 or ESPN News. He's been appearing on SportsCenter, Get Up, First Take throughout the postseason as a part of a rotating roster of analysts providing cross-platform postseason coverage. ESPN Radio is broadcasting every MLB postseason game with Dan Shulman, Chris Singleton, Buster Olney calling the ALCS. We appreciate the time with Tim Kirkton today. Tim, do you feel like since the rainout today, is that going to push all these starters back now to where they don't have to use that bullpen day now? So should we see a rematch of Greinke Tanaka game one? Should we see that in game four tomorrow?
Yes, and this really benefits the Yankees because Tanaka's going to pitch on full rest, and he's going to be better on full rest. And he was great in game one. He's got a great October resume now. So this really helps the Yankees that they get an extra day. The danger, of course, is what we just said. By getting a rainout now and losing the travel day, That means they're going to have to play potentially 4 days in a row. It'll be interesting to see how well Greinke throws. He did not throw well in game one, but he's a very good pitcher, and I fully expect him to be a whole lot better in game four. And then it'll be interesting to see how the Astros use Justin Verlander. If they win, if they lose, what do? Do you wait until game six at home? Do you bring him in game five? Is all that set? I think there's still a lot of intrigue about the pitching for both teams.
Tim Kirchen, our guest. Tim, I wanted to ask you about the Nationals real quickly because we don't pay too much attention to them here until postseason. But this team finished 82-40. They just went right through the Cardinals. The pitching has been fantastic, and obviously, whoever wins this series is likely to be favored. But Nationals got to have a really good chance, don't they?
Yeah, they do. If they pitch anywhere close to the way they've pitched against the Cardinals, they can beat the Astros and they can beat the Yankees. That's how good the Nationals pitching is right now. They held the Cardinals to a 130 batting average. It's the lowest by any team in any seven-game series in the postseason ever. They gave up 16 hits and struck out 48 batters. So they had three strikeouts for every hit they gave up in the Cardinals series. That's how dominant that pitching was. And they're the first pitching staff ever to have three starters with more than 10 strikeouts in three consecutive postseason games. That's how dominant that staff is, and they got the magic going there. They got the destiny working. They got a pretty good middle of the order. So they are a very dangerous team, and I hope everyone in Houston and New York doesn't think, hey, we're playing the World Series now, because the Nationals are very, very good.
And they'll be rested while the other team will not be, assuming this goes seven. The Nationals will have their rotation set up. They're going to be in great shape while the Astros and the Yankees could be playing until Sunday with a Tuesday game one of the World Series. Tim, one of the things that's come up a lot during these playoffs is the discussion of pitch tipping and whether or not it's I don't know much about the unwritten rules of baseball. To me, If a pitcher's tipping his pitches, that's on the pitcher. And if there's game film being used to find a pitcher making or having a tell, to me that's just good scouting. As long as you're not using technology on the field, it seems like everything's fair game. What are your takes on that? And do you think that's been happening, you know, more often in, you know, maybe this year or in recent years?
Well, I agree with you completely. It is not just good gamesmanship. It is responsibility of the team at bat to figure out what the pitcher is doing. And if he's tipping his pitches, then they need to recognize it and they need to pass the word. I have no problem with that. Again, that's part of the game. And it's completely on the pitcher and the defensive team to make sure that this pitcher isn't doing something like that. Now, there are really very few secrets in baseball these days. Almost every team knows guys who are tipping, and they can always figure it out. So I don't think it's that big of a deal, frankly, but I also don't think it's anything getting all upset about, because, again, it's part of the game, and I believe it's a good part of the game that there's some really smart hitters out there and smart pitchers out there that can study this stuff, see it, identify it, and do something about it.
Tim, there's a lot of talk during the season about juiced baseballs when we get to the postseason, and all of a sudden, is it just a matter of the pitching is just better because these are the best pitchers and the best teams, or do you think there is something different to the baseball than what we saw in the regular season? You had a couple of warning track balls last night that looked like they were gone.
Yeah, Carlos Correa hit a ball the other day in Houston, and I was certain that was a home run, and it didn't even hit the wall. So I think maybe something's going on, but I'm no expert on the inner workings of a baseball. It just seems a little odd to me that we set a record with, you know, 6,700 homers in the regular season, and the ball simply isn't traveling the same way in the postseason. I'm not a big conspiracy guy, but I know baseball is examining where the baseball is, the actual baseball is, and they're going to study it some more in the offseason, because I think they recognize too many homers leads to too many strikeouts, leads to too much inaction, and I fully expect them to study this very carefully in the offseason.
All right, that's Tim Kirchen, ESPN baseball analyst, and one of the best in the business, in my opinion. Always a pleasure, Tim. Thanks for spending some time with us, and enjoy the rest of the series.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank you.
All right, that's Tim Kirchen.